morning, everybody. Kevin Broughton coming at you from Loan Officer Impact. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. We've had some great success early on, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to learn and to tune in and to grow and to experience some life-changing ahas in their business. And we're really excited to have today's guest. Before I introduce him, the first three episodes on this podcast started with Carl White and Tony Geary, and then it quickly morphed into me seeking an expert in clarity, focus, and execution. And I've been very, very lucky to have on our guest today. Not only is he a friend of 12 years of mine, but he's also a master of focus. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my friend, Brian Mettner from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Brian, how are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. Perfect guest for our topic today. Just by way of background for a moment, Brian is the consummate professional. He juggles a lot of balls. He owns multiple businesses. He's been very, very successful for a young man in the mortgage industry and a couple other industries that have morphed off of his mortgage practice. He's a great father, a great husband. He just got married a week and a half ago, so congratulations. He's an avid hunter. He's a Notre Dame graduate. He had a burning passion to get his master's degree from Notre Dame a few years ago, and he set out on a focused mission to do that, and he did, albeit while juggling all the other balls in his life, kids and businesses, and he's just ultra-focused, and that's really what I've learned from him over the last 12 years. So without any further waiting, Brian, how are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you, sir?
I'm great. And if you don't mind, could you chat a little bit about where your business was and where it got to and how focus played a role in some of those outcomes?
Sure. Well, I think in this industry, you if you're not careful, you can be very susceptible to be to kind of riding the wave.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, one thing that I've constantly stressed to our team is that even like last year when things were the craziest we've ever seen them, it's impossible to grow and acquire market share in a rising market. And as we saw things begin to contract, as tough as things get, we really believe that if we have proper focus and execution, we can grow market share. And when this thing snaps back, and it always does, we'll be positioned well for that survivor's dividend that no one always talks about.
Without a doubt. And, you know, you just said something really important. I hope everyone heard. It's impossible to increase your market share in a rising market. And I assume what you mean by that is when deals are falling from the sky, everyone gets their share, right? Even the folks that maybe aren't.
Well, yeah, and you're going fire to fire. And nobody thinks about the importance of having a plan to prospect when they can't return their voicemails in a day.
Correct.
So that was something that even when that was happening last year, you know, it really stressed me out a little bit because I'm like, this will not last forever. What is our plan?
And you were smart enough to ask yourself in mid-2021, what is the plan when this ends, not knowing when it was going to end? Could you share some of the things that you and your team have done going back, you know, a year or so more ago that started the path to being able to survive and somewhat thrive in this environment?
I think the first thing is you got to really take a long, hard look at every person on your team. And, you know, we asked with one of our other businesses, it's ran by a fellow veteran, and, you know, he has seen combat and things like that. And I know it's people sometimes don't like these analogies, but I looked at him and I said, you know, as we face, you know, the upcoming recession, if you're getting ready to go to war, who in that building are you taking with you?
Right.
And we started there. And, you know, obviously I think about one of the people I read a lot about is Lou Holtz, and it says, you know, can I trust you? Do you care? And are you committed to excellence? Those three things. So we start there by looking at our team. And then once we have the team selected and there, we knew there'd be attrition, you want to go through and really pour into each of those guys what you guys poured into us 12 years ago. A belief that they can be successful through, you know, not on a month-to-month basis, but you become successful on focusing on what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, that's awesome. There's another takeaway. Please, I hope everyone heard that. Brian, being a United States Marine, and by the way, thank you. Obviously, I say it every time I see you for your service. What you've done for our country is, you know, unrepayable. But I love what you just said. So if everyone out there has a team, whether that team be one person or 100 people on your team, are you asking yourself, Do I trust you? Does that person care? And are they committed to excellence? Those are the three things in the Lou Holtz book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it isn't really overdoing it. We are in a war out there. The market's deteriorated to levels that we probably didn't foresee on January 1st. I believe we're going to end up this year with approximately 62% fewer transactions nationwide than we had just 2 years ago in 2020, which is a shocking differential, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, considering what happened in 2020, yeah, that's just mind-numbing, to be honest with you.
So let's talk about your environment right now. What are some examples of focus that you've been working on, and how have they impacted, good or bad, the results? Could you share a little bit about some specific things that you've done in your business and with your team that rely around the focus component?
So I think for focus, one thing that I've made the determination on is, for a long time, I've tried to assign goals from top down. And it wasn't until we got involved with Tony Gear that I realized how wrong of a and how flawed that was in principle, because you can't motivate somebody. Not all, you know, drivers are created equally. So, you know, we did go through the vision boarding exercise with our branch last week, and it was interesting to see how, based on the role within the organization, the goals are a little bit different. And by knowing what each person's goals, dreams, and desires are, it can help me be a better team leader, because now when I do these one-on-ones, I can speak to their goals and their visions and where they want to be. As far as on focus, we have really gotten intentional with our time. I've got three people here that are battling. They want to have the lone remaining office. And what I decided to do is give it to nobody. And that office is now the prospecting office. So if you want to work in an office, that's great. Schedule the time. And when you're in there, you are hard bound, outbound dialing. You're setting realtor appointments. You're setting prospect appointments. You're following up on pre-calls from a year ago on people that couldn't get into houses. And that is going to be the productivity room within this building.
I love it.
And we're making, like, we have full calendar sharing within this office. So I've made me more accessible, more approachable to the team. So they don't have to email me to schedule a realtor appointment. They just schedule it. And I really, part of the vision boarding exercise that we did is, when we went through the Molo Lolo exercise, is I was able to get the buy-in from every person in the team, where we put, those are now published. And one of the things I said is, by going through this exercise, you're going to make yourself a little bit vulnerable, but also one of our core values is choose to be accountable. You've got to allow anybody within this building, they see you doing an activity that you see you, that you need less of, they have the right to come up to you and say, hey, this is one of your low producing that you said you need less of. Stop doing what you're doing and get back to this other 80%.
I love it. I love it. So they're embracing the accountability, number one. Number two, you flip the script on top-down goals, being starting with the people on the team. What are their goals, dreams, and desires first? And can you morph your plan around what their strengths and weaknesses are, right?
Yeah. So, like, we talk about it all the time. Like, nobody wants a mortgage. Like, nobody comes to me and says, please, I want to buy a 30-year debt instrument from you. That's not true. Like, they want to own a house. And we've even went deeper and said, hey, that's not good enough. Find out what is the pain, what's driving it? Is their family growing? Do their neighbors suck? Do they need a better school for their children? And that's from cradle to grave. From the first time we make that outbound call, we want that answer. And we use it all. Like, our processor will know what that emotional tie is. Why are they doing this? So when they get frustrated during the process, you know, hey, Kevin, I know this is frustrating, but remember, our goal is to get you in that better school district so your kids can have a better life. We're right here with you, right? And the goals are the same thing. So we meet with these guys, and it's amazing to me, too, how some people, like, finances were not really part of the goals. I mean, you need money to get there, but it was not really what they wanted. So I think it's going to make us better leaders within this branch, but I also think it's going to create better alignment for our team.
Without a shadow of a doubt, what I love that you just said, I mean, I love every word you've said so far, but for our listeners out there, remember, so what I heard you say is a MOLO, which is an exercise of more of one event and less of another event, correct?
Yep.
So you take your high leverage activities, and we're trying to do more of those. You take your low leverage activities, we're trying to do less of those, creating MOLOs. And you've empowered every single person on your team with the authority to, actually the obligation, if they see other team members spending too much time in the less of, they're allowed and obligated.
Anytime.
They're empowered to call that person out without retribution and say, hey, you said that was a low leverage activity, stop doing it.
Right.
I hope every loan originator on this call who has a team implements that strategy right there. Because imagine what your life would look like if everyone on your team was participating in high leverage activities as you and they have defined together 100% of the work week. Wouldn't that be a difference?
Right.
And so that's a great example of focus, everyone. Please take a note of that. An ultra-focused team empowers their teammates to call out others who are performing low-leverage activities in an effort to get them to switch that behavior to a high-leverage activity exclusively. What an awesome opportunity.
It's not a power trip. They're doing it
because
I believe every person here cares about the other people, and they're doing it. And like I said, we're coming from a position of love, not power. Right?
Exactly. And it all starts with what you said earlier. Do I trust you? Do you care? And are you 100% committed? And if everyone on the team trusts one another, cares about one another, then that's not a weird thing, what you just described. It's a natural thing, right?
Right.
I love it. So if you look at your work week now, would you say this is working with the teammates? Like, are they embracing this? Are they striving towards exceptionalism every day? Have you seen any sort of differences?
I have. It's exciting. There's days where it's a struggle, but it's exciting because I have, you know, my loan officers are younger. They are less experienced, but I mean, I have two loan officers that have been in the business less than a year. And one of them just sniffed $2 million like a month ago.
Right.
And she was a loan partner a year ago. Yep. Another one is transitioning from a processor to a loan officer. And she's going to kill it. And the third one has been like kind of like a junior role. And he's had $1.5 million, $1.8 million. So
yes, he has.
They're experiencing success. But what they're not experiencing is sustained success because they don't have the prospect, and they don't have the foundational skills perfected yet, right? They don't have their own processes. And so what happens is they have the 1.8 stuck in my file, no prospecting to 600,000. So they're riding these peaks and valleys. And like, I am working my tail off every day to get them to trust me to go all in on this system to really smooth that out, to create more balance, more production. I ask them all the time, are you busy? Are you productive? You get to choose one today.
That's right.
And that's pretty powerful when you think about it, because when you ask them what they did, they tell you all the stuff, but I can say, hey, sounds like you were pretty busy today. I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, because they know it's not good to be busy.
Right. 2 hours of productive is better than 8 hours of busy any day, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and I think too, you know, a mentor of mine, Carl White, 12 years ago, simply taught me the DSP, the Daily Success Plan. And that's really what you're talking to. So hopefully each of those three loan officers on your team are going to be spending as many hours fighting for that office rather than the cubicle, because that's the work office, right?
Yeah.
And it's just adherence to a daily plan, which is what stops that roller coaster effect, correct?
Yep.
But it's a sustained adherence, because you can't do it 2 days a week for 2 weeks and expect, oh, that's it, right? This is a 90, 180 day reality where these become habits and part of your culture, not simply a long-term or a short-term event, correct?
It is, yeah. Our best, our most committed, most productive, most efficient team member is the guy that does our outbound dialing and our game planning. And he gets here every day at 7 o'clock in the morning. He leaves every day at between, some days he leaves at 3:30, some days he leaves at 4. He never works the weekend, but he just puts his head down and just goes. And he is so systematized in his approach that he had his best month ever, I want to say in September of this year, no, August of this year, he put out over $3 million of appointments that he set that close or credit that he fixed that close. So 75% of our branch's business came from him that month.
It's incredible. It's a great example of focus. And so I love hearing, like, this is a guy that's closed $100 million in a year before. Brian's branch closed over $100 million a couple times, actually. And it's a credit to what focus can actually do. And yet as loan originators nationwide, I'm guilty of this as well as many are, is sometimes our ability to focus gets derailed by roadblocks and things in our way that we make excuses for or that are real. Can you speak a little bit, Brian, to the elimination of a roadblock? What's a secret or a tip or a strategy that would help with prolonged focus? Because some of us, myself included, have been able to do it for hours at a time, but not days, weeks, months, and years at a time.
I think in this business, one of the best things that you can do is... An example that I have is we have a realtor partner, one of our better ones. And when we were starting this, and we would sit down and have conversations like this, we're not talking about business, you're just talking about growing your business. So you're not specific files, but like high level stuff. And he said, well, I need someone to hold me accountable. As a realtor, I don't have that. And it went with, and this sounds bad, but he was not getting his 7 hours of sleep a night. So literally I would call him every night at 10 o'clock and make sure that he was going to bed that night. And I'd also call him during the times that he said he's going to prospect just to make, and as soon as he said, yeah, I'm on it, I'd hang up the phone. And so the roadblock was just having nobody to hold you accountable. And by finding somebody that you can trust, that's going to commit to it and hold you accountable is good. I think the other part of it is when things start to contract and the business starts to get scarce, people naturally gravitate. You see this with the low producing realtors. They create work. They create chaos. They create things for themselves that are not productive. And you've got to be aware of that. You've got to tell yourself, hey, when things slow down as a mortgage professional, I'm going to have a tendency to make myself feel busy where I've got to have a tenacity to make myself productive. You've got to choose productivity over being busy.
I agree 100%. I've been preaching that in my own life and in anyone that'll chat with me for years, because I fell in the trap of busy. I know you've seen it 1,000 times, as have I. We meet people in our business, we're either realtors or loan officers, that wear it like a badge of honor. I worked 60 hours this week. I worked 70 hours. But when we really think of work, did they do high leverage activities for 60 hours? In most cases, they didn't do high leverage activities for 3 hours, but they said they worked 60, right?
Yep.
So removing an obstacle can be an example. One example, great takeaway, is accountability. Winners love accountability. Losers hate accountability, right?
Yeah.
And winners hold each other accountable. So that little exercise where you help that realtor for roughly 1 minute a day, a call in the evening and a call at some time during the prospecting hours, and if he said, I'm on it, you hung up the phone immediately. That builds trust, and that builds commitment, and that builds character. And all of a sudden, that guy's your lifelong partner, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not sending his loans to someone else. You're not playing three-card lineup or three-card Molly with him.
This guy is a veteran that literally cannot read. He's got dyslexia so bad he can't read.
He's a great realtor.
He 100 transactions a year.
Love it.
He's got a team. He calls in all his stuff. He voice texts. Like, he just sent me a thing, and I'll screenshot it when we're done and send it to you privately, but he cannot spell. That's why he does not email. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Hey, but the guy's out there killing it. He's working. He's held accountable, and he's doing his thing. He sells 100 homes a year.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, if he can sell 100 houses a year, nobody else can ever – I'll never buy an excuse from anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so I've got like 10 great takeaways from this. For loan officers nationwide that are tuning in, this podcast is called Loan Officer Impact because our mission is to make an impact in your lives. On the first episode, we talked about the importance of three things: clarity, focus, and execution. I think Brian Mettner just gave us a great example of the power of focus. And it starts at the front, though. Ryan Miller shared with us what it's like to get clear. And when you get clear and then you focus, it gives you the ability to execute. And when you combine these three things together, there is absolutely no way anyone can convince me that you cannot achieve your goal. But it is a combination of the three, and they all must be addressed independently and then worked on collectively so that you can produce a result. And today's little snippets on the importance of focus, the examples of how to focus, have been invaluable. Brian, I thank you for your willingness to share with us today. I thank you for your commitment to this industry, for your commitment to our friendship, and personally, it really means the world to me, and I take a lot from you. Each time I see you, I feel like I got better, and I feel like I learned something, and I feel like that your shining example of focus is important. And so I hope others take something like I have out of this 20, 25 minutes. If anyone would like to discuss the power of focus in their business with me personally, go to growingwithkevin.com. That's growingwithkevin.com. And my calendar's on there. You can schedule a 15-minute block with me, and I'd gladly share with you how I try to focus every single day and some of the things I've been doing to create a more focus-based workplace for myself, my team, and for others. So with that, Ryan, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, you too, Kevin. I really appreciate everything.
Yep, you have a great day. And for Loan Officer Impact, loan officers all over the country, please tune in to our next episode coming with Sue Meitner, a tremendously executable loan originator in Philadelphia. And she's going to talk exclusively on execution. And it'll be really, really good episode as well. So thanks. Have a great day and talk to you soon. Remember, growingwithkevin.com if you'd like to chat.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.